This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right back here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We've been on the road like Bob Seger here for the last week or so, but we're back in our friendly confines here kicking off this week. And what a week it's going to be here. Stanley Cup Finals, of course, going to get to the World Cup. And we got a big game, I'd say a rather large game tonight in the world's most famous arena here, Game 3 between the Knicks and Spurs. Zachary Cohen is our senior editor here at VSiN and VSiN.com, host of the Hardwood Handicappers podcast. Give him a follow on X, one of the best handles on X at betting on X, and joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. Zach, after Games 1 and 2 in San Antonio, I don't think we saw a sweep coming for the Knicks there. But Game 3 tonight, I don't know that the Spurs are ready for this environment. And to be honest, Zach, I don't know if the Knicks are either.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how both teams kind of respond to it. I feel like OKC is a really difficult road environment. So the fact that San Antonio was able to win games there definitely sets them up well for playing in the world's most famous arena. I do think this is going to be something entirely different, just because I feel like it won't be louder, but it'll be more chaotic somehow. Not exactly sure how that's going to look. I do think that this Spurs team, though, I don't think they're done. I think that they're going to find a way to win one of these next two games, and I would not be surprised if they win Game 5 at home. I feel like the margins in this series have been so small, and I do feel like the odds makers are trying to tell us that this is going to be a little bit longer than we think. Like, it just seems a little crazy, at least to me, that New York went on the road, won two games where everyone on the planet had the same takeaway that they look like the clear better team, and they're only laying 2 points at home, especially when you kind of look at the splits and it's 80% of the public on New York. I think everyone had that same conclusion, and I think that you're being sold something here by them trying to kind of get you to take this Knicks team.
It's going to be fascinating from a tempo standpoint. And I think, too, I can remember pitching in Yankee Stadium for the first time, Zach, and the adrenaline gets you and the mound shakes. Now, that's old Yankee Stadium. Now it's kind of a country club there, a new Yankee Stadium, not as intimidating. But I wonder if that is part of your handicap when you look at the Spurs. They are going to have that us against the world mentality, and they should. Could we get maybe to a first quarter spread on San Antonio where the Knicks are so hyped up and it's obviously a must win feel for San Antonio? Is that an angle worth approaching, knowing what the dynamics are going to be right at tip time?
Well, I think there's a few things that favor the Spurs in the first quarter. There's that. There's the way that they ended Game 2, where I thought that they started to play a lot faster. And I think that kind of led into that run. I just feel like this team was playing without, you know, feeling the nerves because they had already gone down almost 15 points. They were just playing freely. I know they need to play a little bit faster in order to get back into the series. And also, like, with the president being in the building tonight, I don't know that you're going to have as many Knicks fans in the building at the start of this game as maybe you would expect to. I know everyone got an email about arriving there a little bit early, but I don't know how that's going to look. Like, it seems like security is going to be really tight. I just don't know if we're going, it could be like a Heat game where people are strolling in with like 2 minutes left in the second quarter.
Well, I don't know if that'll be an issue here for this fan base, though, Zach. I think they might, if you open up the doors now, I think they'd go into Madison Square Garden and start camping out for this game here. It's not your job, but I'm going to make it your job for the purposes of this conversation. It's Mitch Johnson's job to figure out how, right? The how they get this game here, Game 3, because we've never seen a team come back from 0-3, right? We saw Cleveland do it when they were down 3-1 to Golden State and win that series, but we've never seen it from 0-3. So we're not saying that is in fact over, but historically it would be in that context. How does Mitch Johnson get this team for the environment, be prepared for this Knicks team, and quite frankly play better than they have in the first two games in order to get this Game 3? What's the key to that?
Well, I think if you're Mitch Johnson, you kind of stress to this team that, like, you've been right there. And if you just play a little bit better, you have a chance to win some of these games. I also think you take accountability for not calling a timeout at the end of Game 2, because I don't know what you're thinking letting Wemby rebound the ball and bring the ball up the floor. I feel like I understand the thinking if maybe it's one of the guards that comes down with the ball, if it's Fox, if it's Castle, one of those guys, like, gets the board and you want them to attack a scrambling defense, sure. But I don't know what you're doing letting Wemby grab that board and go. Like, I know that he's a fantastic player. We look at him as like a unicorn and somebody that could do everything, but I don't want him bringing the ball up the floor in that situation. But I do think that there are some things that they can do in game three that we haven't yet seen in games one or two. And I kind of said it before game two, I thought that they would run some more pick and rolls with Wemby to get him the ball closer to the basket. I still think we're seeing too much of him catching the ball 15 to 20 feet away from the rim. I know that he shot much better in game two, but get him the basketball in the paint, and you could do that by running more pick and rolls. And I also think you might see more of the three guards playing together, Harper, Fox, and Castle, just because I feel like Champagne's a guy. I was going to talk about this on Harvard Handicapper, so I'm spoiling a little bit, but this is somebody that I had to lead the series and made threes, but they just don't have to guard him the same way they have to guard the guys that can make plays off the dribble. So you play those three guys together with Devin Vassell, all of a sudden Jalen Brunson has to guard somebody he doesn't want to guard, whether that is Vassell or one of the three ball handlers. And you could get to a situation where you run some pick and rolls and all of a sudden you're being guarded by both Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns, the two weakest defenders on this Knicks team. Not many teams have been able to attack those two the way that you would have expected to in a playoff series before this one started. I do think the Spurs are equipped to do so. So I'm expecting to see more of that. And I do think defensively, just stop doubling Jalen Brunson. Like, he's going to have a good game at the Garden at some point. He's been so good as a one-on-one scorer. But if you double him, which you've done in the first two games, you've done a good job of preventing him from going off, but you're letting very good players play 4-on-3. And that did not work for the Cavaliers. It's not going to work for the Spurs. You have to play him one-on-one. So I think that's what San Antonio needs to do.
All right, that in mind, Zach, does that get you to some specific player props for tonight? And just kind of with that rationale, anyone that might stand out as a best bet for you?
I continue to think that Fox is going to play well. I took an alternate point total over with him of 12+, and I took the Spurs on an alternate spread of +7.5. That's kind of my bigger play on this game. So that was -135. It's Spurs +7.5. Fox over 11.5. I do like Fox, though, on the over on his regular point total. I just feel like there is something to be said about him being the most experienced guard of this group. I also think that in game two, he looked really confident attacking the basket and getting to his jumper. Also thought that he kind of like brought some of the fight that you would have liked to have seen from San Antonio when he kind of got in Brunson's face and, you know, showed him that he's kind of there still. He's not going to back down and let Brunson be the one that lets this thing just get out of hand. So I thought Fox really answered the bell, and I could see if anybody's going to be overwhelmed by playing in this road atmosphere. Wouldn't be surprised if it is Harper. Like, I'd want him on the floor still, but this is a guy that grew up as a Knicks fan. He's going to be playing in front of some of his family members, I'd imagine, or friends. And it's just such a big game for him personally that I wouldn't be surprised if he's kind of the one that struggles a little bit. But I think Fox can be relied on to continue to be, you know, a productive offensive player.
And then Rick Brunson came over and had some words with De'Aaron Fox. That was a very interesting scene right there, Zach, that we had unfolding there in game two. It is interesting in the MVP market. Look, gave out on this program before the series, hey, you want an alternative, looked at Cat at 22-1. Those numbers obviously long gone. Now he's almost the co-favorite, if you will, about +$1.65 to win the finals MVP. That should be denoted here. You can't get Jalen Brunson here at plus money. I wonder, you know, you mentioned stop doubling Brunson. If you single him up, he's going to get his, right? Would you pivot back to Brunson at this point? Because if you didn't grab those numbers on Cat, as we advised here on VSiN by the Books, I think now you could pivot the other way and look back to Brunson at +$1.15. How do you feel about those as the top two betting choices on the Knicks side?
I still think if you like the Knicks to win the series, which I think everybody does, you go Towns, just because I think if they're going to win and win this thing quickly, it's going to be more of the same with Cat continuing to space Wemby out, pull him away from the basket, drive when he's, you know, has opportunities to drive, hit the offensive boards, do his good work as a passer. I feel like all of that stuff is so instrumental in the Knicks winning that at this point he's built up a really strong lead over Brunson. I do always worry about voters and just like the love that, you know, a city has with Brunson. Like, that is the Knicks guy. And I feel like if he has a game or two, there might be incentive to try to push into the award. But this isn't like Iguodala over Curry. Like, I've mentioned that with other series. Like, it's not like Josh Hart winning over Brunson. There's no historical problem with picking Carl Anthony Towns as the finals MVP. This is a player that has been all NBA. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, and he's played the best series of his life. So I feel like if Towns just continues to play well, he really should win. I feel like they do not win those games without him, and Brunson was terrible. So the reason you're in this situation is because Towns has been the best player in the series.
All right, last one from me, buddy. And what an interesting finish at Roland Garros over the weekend here. A couple of upsets, obviously, with Jannik Sinner, the upset maybe of the entire sport here in the last couple of decades. Sabalenka saying she wants to quit. We'll see what happens after that little wedding planning in between. Buddy, we are a couple of weeks from Wimbledon at the All England Club. Any early looks for one of those futures on the men's or the women's draw?
I mean, so many things are not available that I like to bet on the futures market. Like, I will say, like, I think Sinner does bounce back and probably win this tournament. I do think Djokovic is going to go deep at this tournament as well. So, you know, two chalkiest names ever right off the bat. But I do think that Mencik, who, you know, made a pretty deep run at Roland Garros, is a player that his game should fit nicely on the grass. I think Taylor Fritz, somebody that's been forgot about over the last couple of months, He plays his best tennis on the grass. That's kind of where I'm looking at this tournament, but I do think Sinner gets back into the winner's circle. I think the conditions are a little bit cooler, a little bit easier for him to win matches quickly. And man, yeah, what a tournament we had at Roland Garros. That was one of the worst finals that I've ever seen. I'll be honest. Like, I watched the whole thing. I had the over, so it was pretty much done at the fourth set, but it was ugly tennis for a final. The quality was so low.
A rump. That puts a bow on Roland Garros in emphatic fashion. Zach, great stuff as always. Give a shout out. Hardwood Handicappers and at Betting on X. We're back Daily Diamond next. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, and catch up with the great Will Hill, King of Connecticut, before this show is done. Great conversation we just had with Zachary Cohen before Game 3 tonight at Madison Square Garden. Please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast, and you can listen to those conversations on your time. A lot to get to in Major League Baseball and college baseball. Get closer and closer to Omaha. Figure out who's going to win it this year. That's where we begin today's edition of the Daily Diamond. What a perspective you had in Morgantown over the weekend. Remember, they're about 12-1 to win the College Baseball World Series, now down to plus 750. Jensen, tell the people what that experience was like.
Unbelievable. And a first in program history for Steve Saban's head coach there for the Mountaineers. Omaha bound. And what perspective he had, Dave, he kind of reflected for the first time on the journey and what the historic super regional win in Morgantown meant to him and the program.
So excited for the fans. This is a state, I always talk about it. It's just like one of those states where it means more and it feels different, and you feel like this unity with the people and the fans, and you feel like you provided them something special, right? I'm jogging out to the third base box and people are screaming thank you, and you're like, I'm just going to work, like, thank you, like, I'm just appreciative to be here and be able to have an opportunity. And so you just have people where it like really means something too. So when you're belting Country Roads at the top of your lungs and you're looking up there and you're seeing the excitement in their faces, and you know, after the regional, when I was looking up there, there's just like grown-ass men crying in the stands. You're going like, I think this is impacting somebody, right? And you couldn't ever want anything more than to make an impact in somebody's life and to be meaningful and for what you do to be meaningful. So this state provides all that.
Jensen, when you hear that, and again, I know my family, a lot of them coming from West Virginia, you had to feel that there as a broadcaster, right? And again, I know it's going to sound trite for some fan base. Oh, it just means more. But it really, it does. You can see the way the effect it's had on him personally and certainly the program to give back to the state. You got that sense at Morgantown?
Oh, I mean, I was talking with Ren Baker, athletics director there at West Virginia, and we were texting back and forth on the way back home for me. And he's like, buddy, you're an honorary Mountaineer, you know, from where you were. David, it is a privilege to be able to tell the stories. And for context, both the wins over Cal Poly were blowouts. You know, I mean, there was never drama. Just the 90-minute rain delay on Saturday was really the only thing that slowed down West Virginia this entire weekend. But to knock on the door a couple of times in Super Regionals the last couple of years, they lost to eventual national champion LSU last year in Baton Rouge. They finally host this year for the first time as a Super Regional host, and to be able to do it on your home soil. I told you this early in the week, coming home and getting a couple hours sleep after what I witnessed on Monday night. It's not only gone viral. Dave, we had Pat McAfee front and center right next to Rich Rodriguez, head coach of the football team, slamming beers, just being Mountaineer faithful and just living it up. Dave, so much so the program impacting it, not only with the trip to Omaha. Pat McAfee is going to do a show from Omaha. And just to raise not only the spectacle of the team and the university, but that's a huge get for college baseball. We know how many millions of people watch that show. So that's huge. As it stands now for our audience, Dave, we still have two tickets to punch. And we had rain not only through the weekend in a lot of the part of the country, but it also affected last night's two Super Regional games. Right now, Alabama in the eighth inning, they're in the bottom of the eighth. They lead St. John 7-2. If Alabama gets that home, they will also punch their ticket to Omaha, as will Oklahoma, who is up 8-1 in the bottom of the third. That's the Lawrence Regional. Oklahoma already has one win in pocket. A win for them, and they will be the final team in as well. What we already know, Dave, West Virginia and Troy, North Carolina, Ole Miss will play Friday's opening games. Times to be determined. I would imagine the way it's gone, West Virginia and Troy would be that first game of the afternoon. North Carolina, Ole Miss will be the nightcap. I have one future remaining. It's Ole Miss. It's 60-1. And as you can see, they're down to 8-1. And I got to tell you, we were this close to having Southern Cal, who I had at 50-1. If they could have closed it out yesterday against North Carolina, we would have had a massive future guaranteed to be 1-0 through the opener. But hey, beggars can't be choosers here. I got to tell you, I told you early in the week, I thought there was really great value on West Virginia 12-1. I still think it's there, Dave. If you want to hop in on West Virginia plus 750, they feel like team of destiny stuff. They have great pitching. Their hitting is just going bananas right now. And in that part of the bracket, so the winner of West Virginia Troy will play the winner of North Carolina Ole Miss. So there is certainly a lot to like about it. Georgia and Texas will match up on Saturday. We know that matchup, if you like home runs, the Georgia-Mississippi State Super Regional was drunk. I mean, it was ridiculousness on so many levels. Daniel Jackson, the power hitting catcher, who's probably going to win the Golden Spikes Award as the best player in college baseball. He hits the go-ahead two-run homer in extra innings. They end up getting it home. Dave, Georgia's going to be a handful. But I think that opening matchup against Texas, you want a little Saturday night fever in Omaha, that is going to be a ridiculous one for that first matchup on the other side of the bracket.
It's funny. I actually was back in the Nashville airport at the end of my excursion yesterday, coming back from Vegas. And that, when I saw that in a nearby bar, the swing and the reaction he had, and it stopped me dead in my track. I literally stopped and went, oh, I gotta see that replay. I mean, that was a shot. And I had no idea after going back and watching it, how that game played out, the wildness of that one there. But what a shot to get that one home for the Bulldogs. Let's look ahead a little bit to Major League Baseball here, what we're going to get this week. Some of the series beginning today, we get the Mariners and the Orioles, Red Sox and Rays. Interesting one there in the AL East. For the Rays, feel like they're starting to slip a little bit on their handle there. And the Yankees against the Guardians and life without Aaron Judge as that continues there. In the American League side there, and by the way, the Blue Jays hosting the Phillies, two teams, certainly the Phillies back to five games over, and the Blue Jays starting to get better. What do you make of the Sox and the Rays here as they begin this one down there at the Trop?
Yeah, going to be an interesting series just from where Tampa, as you alluded to, has slipped a little bit. No real feel on this game. There are two, though, that I do like. The Astros and the Angels. I know, team in Houston, that you've wanted to kind of keep your eye on.
Yep.
The Angels are 9-14 as a home underdog this year. And the way that Spencer Arrighetti has pitched this year, Dave, I like this spot to back the Astros as an away favorite. So a road fave for the Astros. I got a $1.21 on the money line for Houston. So I do like that a lot. Speaking of a team that's rolling, the last seven starts that Kyle Harrison has made for the Milwaukee Brewers, Milwaukee is 7-0. Not getting in front of that train. Let's take the Brewers as a road favorite, in which they are 17-6 this year, Dave. Milwaukee minus $1.51 to win it against the Athletics in Sacramento later on tonight.
Milwaukee with the most wins in the month of May, and they just keep on rolling in the month of June. It was like no slowdown so far here for the Milwaukee Brewers. A couple teams, too, that I feel like are going in the other direction here. The Reds beginning a series against the Padres. Mets took 2 out of 3 against San Diego over the weekend. What do we make of those teams big picture here? Because, you know, we knew it was going to be tough for the Reds to get off to a great start. And then without Hunter Green, and then you lose De La Cruz. And I made mention of that last week, that I thought that was really going to impact them. And it feels like it really is. Is there just too much now for star power for Cincinnati to kind of stem the tide here? Because it feels like it's going against them right now.
Not necessarily, but certainly they got to get healthy. And, of course, not having Ellie De La Cruz, a huge, huge hole in their lineup. I actually do like the Reds tonight. Andrew Abbott against Walker Buehler. This feels like a nice, sneaky road underdog spot for Cincinnati, seeing about 24% of bets, but about 53% of money on Cincinnati at plus $1.15. Total-wise, I think this one also could be a bit low scoring. Opened at 8, was bet down to 7.5. Back up to 8, but I still think the under would be the play there. Again, Walker Buehler has been really solid at the bottom of the Padre rotation. They've kind of needed him to step in big time there. But I do think the Reds, a live dog on the road at Petco Park later on tonight.
And my two picks to have the best record in the month of May, they're off to good starts. I took the Royals. They already have 5 wins in the month, which is really, they have a day off today. Before beginning a series tomorrow. And they're going to be going up against the Rangers, who have suddenly gotten hotter as well. And by the way, those two games that the Royals have lost so far, they led by 2 runs in each of them. And they almost blew a 6-1 lead in the 9th last night. That bullpen is so dicey. But again, kind of starting to round into form. They're still, about 12 games under 500 here, but a nice start to the month for the Royals. I'm looking at bottom feeders to see if they can get off the deck a little bit. And the Metropolitan is going to begin a series against another hot team in the Cardinals coming up there to Citi Field to begin a series tomorrow. But the Mets playing better baseball. Again, blew one against the Padres. They had a lead in as well, but still took 2 out of 3. Speaking of New York and Connecticut, the great Will Hill will join the program next. And I'm sure he has a lot of thoughts on what we're going to see in Game 3 tonight at the world's most famous arena. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Monday morning. And Jensen, I cannot wait to see what this atmosphere is going to be like tonight, Game 3 at the world's most famous arena here for the Knicks and Spurs. And I don't think we saw it 2-0, although you and I both like the Knicks. Coming into the series, and they just refuse to lose at this stage. What are we in on hand for tonight? I don't know what to expect. What does Will Hill expect? Of course, does a great job here. I was listening to the Should Have Bet More podcast on the way into work this morning with Jeff Parles. Fantastic conversation. A lot of New York-centric stuff going on there, and Will Hill joins us now. Give him a follow at Not The Will Hill. Joins us here in the Progressive Guest Line. It's hard to get away from New York right now. And, you know, when you've got the world stage, all the eyes on you, certainly you know this and knowing that area well. It can go against you, but Will, right now it feels like everything is pro-Knicks. That's a weird way to view this thing, but it thinks like all is right in Knicks world right now.
when you said the eyes are on New York, the eyes of the world are on New York, I thought you meant the Mets finally winning a series in San Diego, something that's been hard for them to do, only five games out of a playoff spot. So first pitch curveball from you. I wasn't expecting you to start with the Knicks. Now, look, I mean, look, what a run this has been. It's incredible. I can't really think of any parallels, something I was talking about on my podcast. I can't think of any parallels like this in sports, and we see a lot of stuff in sports. But for a team a month, 2 months ago, if you were to ask most people, even probably most Knicks fans, hey, is this team a title contender, the Knicks? Most people would have said probably not. And that was like the consensus opinion. To go from being a pretty good team, a very fringe title contender, to a juggernaut that's won 13 in a row and a couple of home wins away from 15 in a row in a title, this just doesn't happen. I was thinking of like other comparisons, and it's really hard to come up with one. The one I could think of, and it's different in college, but that first UConn team that won it all was a four seed, and they went in the tournament and they just destroyed everybody out of nowhere. But other than that, this doesn't really happen. I will say this though, if the Knicks, and I like them tonight, we'll get to the game. The Knicks, you know, you go into the series, if you lose the series, all right, great year. You made the finals. It was a hell of a year, no matter what happens. Now that you're up 2-0 going home, you can't lose the series. This would now be a devastating loss. So this is now a series the Knicks absolutely have to win.
Yeah, so with that idea, Will, and I agree wholeheartedly with you, it almost feels like more pressure has been added. And coming home, could that affect maybe the way they start this game? Are there some nerves there? We know the adrenaline will be through the roof. Does that get you to any angles maybe early in this game, player props, what have you? How does it size up in your eyes?
I like the Knicks. You never want to make a game too much about home court, but man, that is a very young Spurs team, and we all dismissed the youth because they went into OKC and won a game seven on the road, which, hey, that's a hell of an accomplishment. But they've beaten themselves. They've made mistakes. Now, maybe it's because of youth, maybe it's not, but Wemby throwing the ball away, Wemby turned the ball over at the end of game one, and the Knicks just don't beat themselves. Now, you could look at this series and say, you know what, Spurs can't win in New York. They're too young. Knicks have won in San Antonio. They're going to win at home. And that's probably where I come down. But you could also look at it and say this series could be and probably should be 1-1 because let's face it, it was two coin flip games. Spurs led by 14 in the middle of the third quarter of game one, and they led by two with under a minute left in game two. To not get either one of those games is tough. So you could say, you know what, these teams are just dead even. They're going to play six or seven coin flips. The first two just happen to go to the Knicks. That's a reasonable way to look at it. And boy, what a way to go out if the Spurs, you know, lose these two games and get swept. I think the Knicks win tonight, though. You know, I'm rooting for a little juice in this series. And us in the content business, we want these series to go long, take us as close to football as you can. But I'm not sure the Spurs are going to cooperate. It reminds me a little bit, this Spurs team, of the Shaq, Penny, Orlando team. Remember, they lost game one. Nick Anderson missed all the free throws. And they weren't ready. They got swept. They couldn't recover. A little bit like that OKC team with Durant where, yeah, they had three future MVPs, but they were young. They weren't ready. I just wonder if this is one where the Spurs just, teams don't come to the playoffs and just win it all right away. Maybe this is a little bit of a lesson for them. And I do think regardless of how we get there, whether it's 4, 5, 6, the Knicks, there's going to be a parade here in New York in the next week or 10 days. So we'll see. The question I was thinking about, if you're the Spurs, would you sign for a split and figure, you know what, we're probably not going to lose a third game in a row at home. If we can just get a split, win game five, then all of a sudden the pressure's on the Knicks in game six. And then we, you know, obviously they'd be in good position in game seven and having the home game. So we'll see here. We'll see if the Spurs can give this series a little juice, a little excitement. The games have been great. NBA, NHL, we've been spoiled with how good these games have been. It was weird Sunday night not to have any games in either the NBA or NHL, but I think the Knicks get it done. I think we're looking at a 3-0 series.
Well, that's the thing here, Will, because we've never seen it in the history of the NBA final where a team goes down 0-3 and comes back a win. If you go back to the Cavaliers when they were down 3-1 against Golden State and that historic series and coming back and winning in seven, and that is the anomaly, right? That just normally does not happen. So the question you asked about, would you sign up for the split? Possibly, but that would mean I think you'd have to get tonight. Right, because again, historically, never happened coming back from 0-3. So even if you got the game four, to win four in a row seems almost on the verge of an impossibility. Yeah. But to get game three tonight, is it as simple as because plus 380 is the series price now for the Spurs to win the series, and it's about the same for Wemby to be MVP. A little bit longer, about plus 390. You can find out there in the marketplace. But is it as simple as Wemby has to dominate Karl Anthony Towns, and Karl Anthony Towns is now the second shot to be MVP? Because it feels like it's an older man in Karl Anthony Towns that's bullying a kid, a 22-year-old kid, and not afraid to take it to him in the paint as well. Like, does it have to be about Wemby figuring out a way to play against a guy that can play old man YMCA basketball and beat him?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I mean, I think there is more to him, and I don't like some of the shots Wemby takes. For a guy that's 10 feet tall, I mean, not to be the old school, but go to the hoop. I mean, these fadeaways and some of the shots he takes, you don't love, where they turn him into jump shooter. If you're the Knicks, you know what? Shoot 8-9 threes. Shoot all the threes you want. As long as you're away from the basket, you know, they're probably good with it. Fox looked like he may have tweaked the ankle the other day. He was bad in game one. He was pretty good in game two. You know, they don't really have a guy to attack Brunson. Brunson is a guy you can attack defensively, but the Spurs don't have that guy where you just hand him the ball and you take Brunson to the hoop and either get two free throws or you get a bucket. The Spurs don't really have that kind of a bucket getter. Castle is a good player, but I don't think his offensive game at this stage of his career is that developed. So, you know, there's more to it than that, but you know what? Towns outplaying Wemby is kind of a non-starter here for the Spurs. So, like I said, though, as bad as it's been for the Spurs, as bad as it's looked, you can look back at the game film and say, you know what? And I know the two wins are banked for New York, and that's all that matters. This could very easily and probably should be a 1-1 series. These two teams look pretty damn even.
All right, more New York talk here. We are not WFAN the Fan, but we will have to take a little bit of a dive into where we are with your New York Yankees. They are in my neck of the woods beginning tonight. Will Warren, Gavin Williams going to be the matchup, but maybe more a 30,000-foot view in your eyes, Will. Any effect for you, not only in the American League East race, but maybe with your monster ticket on Ben Rice in the American League MVP? Thoughts on those two topics for you as the Bronx Bombers come here to do battle by the lake tonight?
Well, if it was a Yankees-Guardians or a Yankees-Indians playoff game, we know who would win. Unless Jensen Lewis was on the mound, that was the only time the Indians took care of the Yankees. But other than that, the Yankees just beat up on these AL Central teams when they need to in the playoffs. They don't beat up the rest of the teams. But look, I think the Yankees will be okay without Judge. I think the AL is so weak that you don't have to worry about them. They're going to be one of the six playoff teams unless they just, you know, lost a million more guys here. And they've already got Stanton, Fried, and Judge. That's possibly three Hall of Famers all in the IL. But the AL's too weak. They're going to make the playoffs. Just, you know, if you're the Yankees, you don't want this to linger for Judge. You want him to get him back, whether it's August 1st, August 15th. You want him to be healthy when he's back, and you'd rather win the division, obviously. But just being healthy going into the playoffs with their pitching, I think, is the priority. MVP, look, bet it 150-1. Would I bet Rice at 350, 4-1? I would not. I think of all the bets right now, AL MVP, I haven't looked in the last hour or so, but Kurt's 11-1, like 440 on base percentage, hit another homer yesterday. We know he can hit him in bunches. He hit 36 and like 420 at bats last year, which is just insane, playing in that little ballpark. I can't bet Witt at the short price on a bad team. I can't bet Alvarez at the short price on a bad team. You could talk me into Caminero at 30, 35-1. I've heard worse bets. It does feel like there's a bet to be made there, and it can't be the two short shots. So I think the best compromise, the best bang for your buck right now is probably Kurt's at 11-1. By the way, I think Bryce to draw a walk in these games is going to be a good bet, too, at plus money, because I think Ben Rice becomes the guy. Hey, let's not let him beat us. It used to be Judge. Now it's, all right, Rice, let's pitch around him a little bit. Let's not let him beat us. And he's got a habit of taking these walks, too, and you get him at plus money.
And we're starting to turn the page here. And obviously, for those that are paying attention to the NBA and the NHL, once those end, then they're going to really get into their baseball. We've been well into it now for months. Is there a team that you look at there and say, well, maybe they've underachieved and they're getting ready to hit a streak, or conversely, overachieved and might start to slide? Is there anybody out there that you might identify either way?
I'm not playing to the audience. I'm not pandering. I think the Mets might have a little run in them. They're only five out of a playoff spot. And it's funny, the Mets and the Tigers have these interesting comparisons where 2 years ago, they were both way out of it, made runs. Last year, they both collapsed. And this year, they're both disappointing. Tigers, you look up, they're only five and a half out of a wild card. If you get Scooble healthy, if you can get Valdez on track, and you know, maybe Valdez is just an issue in these locker rooms. It's very possible. But Mets, I'll say the Mets to keep you happy. I really do think the Mets possibly have a run.
I mean, we don't play favorites for our guests, but that's why you remain one of the top guests that we have here in Beeson Bucket Books, in my good graces. Will Hill, check out the Should Have Been More podcast. It's been spectacular. And give him a follow on X at Not The Will Hill. Going to start breaking down one fight every day for Freedom 250. We'll start that breakdown next right here on Beeson Bucket Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Championship season is upon us. VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter. There is a limited time offer. It's a good one. Early bird pricing on our football season special is just $175. So the sooner you sign up, the more value you're going to get. Full access to everything we do throughout the Super Bowl in February. That means continuing coverage of the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, as long as those last. World Cup kicking off this week, plus MLB all summer long. Going to get our daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools and projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. And on June 22nd, in just a couple weeks, going to release our NFL betting guide. Yes, football is almost back in our lives. Going to attack those futures, win totals, divisional races in the full season ahead. Head over to VSiN.com/subscriber right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We'll be writing for that betting guide as well. I've already started to do my homework months in advance of that. Got a couple teams that I'm certainly keeping my eye on this year, like in years past, that's been very successful. We'll get to that in a couple weeks. Jensen, this is going to be a very interesting week in the MMA world, and I just saw Mike's MMA picks on X post this, and it's very true. The UFC will be front and center all week long in every major media outlet coast to coast. I'm bracing myself for some absurd takes from folks new to the game who hold strong opinions on MMA. It's going to be a wild sight, right? So kind of like when you get to game three tonight, we know the president's going to be there. We know the mayor's going to be there. So it's going to be a lot of other things and not just basketball. That's going to be the case this week when we have fights on the White House lawn come Saturday. Freedom 250. It's going to be the showcase event in MMA and certainly for the UFC this year. Now, it is hard, and I was talking about this a lot with Zaid and Rob Moreno and everybody that we were coming in contact over the weekend as we were there at UFC Apex, that it's so different from, say, a normal card, that you do have to handicap, Jensen, for the first time, possibly elements. Remember, this is an outdoor event in Washington, D.C. in June. I lived there for the better part of 15 years. It gets quite humid. Heat could absolutely be a factor, unlike, say, going to Apex, where you have controlled environments and you've got air conditioning and the fighters kind of know what to expect. It's going to be very different, and I do wonder how that's going to affect some of the handicaps when we get closer and closer to Saturday. Look, all week long here, I'm going to break down one fight every day to prepare us for Freedom 250. Let's get to the big one, and it's not even the main event. It's the co-main event, but we might actually have MMA and UFC history on the line. Alex Pereira is trying to do something that's never been done in the history of the sport. We've had double champs, Conor McGregor, right? With GSP, Jorge St. Pierre, back in the day. We have never had a three-division champ, and we have the opportunity for middleweight, light heavyweight, and now heavyweight for Alex Pereira to be the first guy to do that. Now, he's going to go up against a Frenchman in Ciryl Gane, who's been the interim title holder of this. But when he went for the undisputed, it didn't work out very well against John Jones. If you go back to the last time we saw Ciryl Gane in there with a chance to be the undisputed heavyweight champion, he took on Tom Aspinall, and he did it over there in England. And he was winning that fight, and he was winning it rather easily. And then, boop, Three Stooges eye poke, disqualification, and it's a no contest. And we saw it was Ciryl Gane's own doing that cost him from winning the undisputed heavyweight championship. But what I saw that night is what I think we're going to see Saturday at the White House. And that is Ciryl Gane, yes, the Frenchman. My heart might say Brazil and Alex Pereira. My head says Frenchman Ciryl Gane. Level change. You are the much bigger man in this fight come Saturday. And I know we're all rooting for the story. We all love Alex Pereira, because he's given so much to this sport. He's given so much to this organization that I think the betting dollar might even be certainly with Alex Pereira. Now, I grabbed it at $1.10. It might not even be the best price. We could get public sentiment that comes in on Pereira this week. And if you get the opportunity to grab Ciryl Gane at plus money, Jensen, I would advocate for it. Again, if I'm wrong in this fight, I'll be happy. I'd love the story. But we don't want to bet on stories. We don't want to bet on our hearts. We want to bet on our head. And right now, this is going to be a naturally bigger man by about 30 pounds in this octagon.
And Ciryl Gane is a fighter, Jensen, that moves sometimes like a middleweight in there. He is light on his feet for a guy that comes in generally around 250. So to me, the price point and the head says Ciryl Gane. The heart is going to say Alex Pereira. But I think he might be a little bit of fish out of water in this one. If Ciryl Gane stands and strikes with Alex Pereira, he can get knocked out. But I don't think he's going to do that, Jensen. I think it's going to be level changes, take the fight down to the ground. That's not where Alex Pereira wants to be. We've never really seen him at the fight off his back. And if we see it Saturday night, dare I say, and new Ciryl Gane, undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. Jensen, I know it's not the storyline people want, but what we want and what we get sometimes are two very different things.
Very good. All right, looking forward to it rest of the week here. Also looking forward to pretty big storyline. By the way, let me correct the record. The Athletics Brewers game is in Las Vegas this week. All you Twitter warriors out there, thank you so much. That does not change anything about backing the Brew Crew in Las Vegas against the Athletics tonight. -$1.51. Kyle Harrison, they've won 7 straight starts. Brewers 17-6 this year as a road favorite. I think they get it done in Las Vegas against the Athletics tonight. Speaking of getting it done, Dave, if you've been following this BetMGM bettor who has been making very large wagers on a ladder of spread bets in the NBA finals. He's back tonight. You had said that you feel we're getting a discount on the Knicks tonight. And I tend to agree with you. Well, that big MGM bettor is back again with nearly $500,000 spread out on different spreads for tonight. 200 grand on the Knicks plus 4.5 at -225. 125K at plus 3.5 at -$2. 50 grand on the Knicks at plus 2.5 -$1.75. 35K on the Knicks plus 1.5 -$1.55. 20 grand on the Knicks -1.5 at -$1.20. And 20K on the Knicks -2.5 at -$1.05. Dave, he is up nearly 2.2 million since April 27th. That according to Ben Fox, great friend of the program over at Yahoo. And that aligns because this guy has been nailing it, right? You thought we're getting a discount on the Knicks. This guy, I think, feels like we are too. So take that for what it's worth. Almost $500,000 on various spreads for the Knicks to get it done tonight.
I love where his head's at. I like where his wallet's at even better. I really do, Jensen. Like, that's the thing. Again, getting back to Pereira against Gane, right? What we want to have happen, I think we want, certainly you and I have Knicks tickets, right? So we'd love to see those get home. But for the content of the show, if we didn't have any money on it, we'd be rooting for San Antonio because we want content and elongate these series, right? We love having these type of discussions. But what we want and what we get are two very different things. And I think we're all going, well, the Knicks can't sweep the Spurs, right? Yeah, they absolutely can. And they're not thinking the way we are. They're thinking the way that they put the foot down on everybody so far in these postseason, in this postseason. That's why they won 13 in a row. And that they go, we're not trying to do it for your entertainment. We're trying to get the shortest way possible. And the shortest way possible, and you know they're thinking this and know this. Man, we win tonight. This thing is theoretically over because history tells us it would be over because we've never seen a team come back from 0-3. Jensen, I think they're looking to seize this moment tonight. And I would almost be stunned at this point. I'm probably going to get to the window on the Knicks. And I know I already have plus 220 on that side, so don't really need to get more involved. But the price point tells me I should. That I think 2 is cheap on the Knicks tonight. And I think we're going to be talking about it tomorrow morning going, man, we saw it coming, and yet we didn't back it up because, well, the Spurs got to win one, right? No, they don't. They don't have to win anything if the Knicks have their way. But I do get back to Carl Anthony Towns here against Wemby, right? To your point about playing the props on Wemby, if they win, Wemby goes off, right? That's how the Spurs win tonight in the Garden.
Yeah. You and I, we are selfishly rooting for the Knicks with the futures we have in pocket. We're halfway home. Keep the foot on the gas pedal. Jalen Brunson, Carl Anthony Towns, and all the dignitaries that will be courtside to watch it there later on tonight.
It feels like they're a team that they apply the pressure when they see they've got somebody wounded. They don't give them any quarter. That's what I've seen from the Knicks so far in this postseason. They got Philadelphia down. They ended it in Philadelphia. They got the Cavaliers down. They sweep it in Cleveland. This team does not care about extending series here. I don't care how hard Scott Foster might try sometimes. So we'll find out about the Knicks tonight laying the two here against San Antonio, and that total is up to 216.5. Jensen, great stuff. As always, can't wait to break it down tomorrow. Of course, we'll have a lot to say about Game 4 in the Stanley Cup Final. That will be tomorrow, highlighting tomorrow's show as well. But if you want more VEASAN, you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, you can still get your fill of Numbers Game with Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidwin. They're coming up on VEASAN.com and the VEASAN Watch app.